On the Immaculate Conception. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before he made anything from the beginning. Proverbs 8:2. The following is from French Jesuit Père Houdry. In this mystery it seems to me to be fitting and proper to apply those words of the prophet, the unspotted mirror of God's majesty, Wisdom 7:26, to Our Lady's Immaculate Conception. These words have been applied to the uncreated wisdom, that is to say, to the Word incarnate, who is the substantial image of his Father and the mirror of his divine perfections, because he is begotten in a splendor more pure and brilliant than the light. They, however, can be applied in a just proportion to the glorious Virgin, since Mary was conceived without sin, exempt from its original stain, destined to be the mother of a Son who is as far removed from sin as light is from darkness. Consequently, Mary can be rightly called an unspotted mirror. Her conception also corresponds with the eternal and temporal conception of that God-man who is to be her son, and also represents perfectly the sanctity, purity, majesty, and the noblest attributes of God himself. To show that the conception of Mary is this unspotted mirror which the wise man has pictured in the eternal conception of the divine word, the following reasoning would suffice. God was not willing, nor would he allow, that the body of the Blessed Virgin should be more pure or more exempt from every stain than her soul. Now the purity of her body has been the most perfect that can be imagined. It equaled, nay surpassed, those of the angels, and, if we may believe some of the early fathers, it reached even to the infinite. Then, far from having contracted the least stain of sin, she was truly an unspotted mirror. That God should have willed that Mary's body should be endowed with a more excellent purity than that of her soul is not what could be reasonably expected of his wisdom, since the soul is the noblest part of man. If the body, according to the expression of the apostle, is a beautiful vase, the soul is the most precious of liquors which ought to fill it. And consequently the virginal body of Mary, whose purity surpassed that of angels and near unto God, as St. Bernard says, had to contain a soul still more pure, inasmuch as the purity of the body, without the purity of the soul, can have no value or consideration with God. O great God, could it have been indeed possible that you, who had taken so much pains to endow a purity of body to her whom you had chosen to be your mother, and at the same time allowed her soul to be soiled with a stain as infamous as that of original sin, that the one should be purer than the light of the stars, and the other more vile than the slime of which the first man was formed, that the purity of the one should have been capable of bringing you from heaven to earth, and that the defilement of the other would have discouraged you from coming down, and in conclusion that the woman whom you had chosen for your mother should have been even for a moment a slave of the devil? No, I cannot believe it. You have too great a horror of sin, even to tolerate the shadow. You love innocence and holiness too much to consent to be born of a sinner, and to give an apparent opportunity of accusing you on a subject of which you are so sensitive. The following is from French Jesuit Claude de la Colombière. There is something in Mary which moves and affects me much more than this privilege of having been exempt from original sin, something which adds additional luster to this first prerogative. Mary received this grace from the very first moment of her conception. It was a wondrous gift. But what appears to me to be still more wonderful is that she kept this grace until the last moment of her life, as pure, as entire as when she first received it. No sin, no imperfection, no weakness, no surprise have ever done her harm. It is a wonder to see water springing from the bosom of the earth as clear, as fresh, as if it fell from heaven. But it is a thing unheard of that this same water from the well, after having bedewed the fields and dirty places, should flow at last into the sea without a taint of smell, as unpolluted as when it issued from the spring. This is, however, what our Blessed Lady has done. She lived in this valley of tears for more than 60 years, this too in the midst of the same sins and occasions of sins which daily corrupt even innocent souls, without ever losing the purity of her heart. Her humility and patience were put to proofs without a parallel, and she gained fresh luster from every trial. The Holy Ghost gave her the preference among the many virgins without losing her honor. She had her joys, but she had her dolors too, and through these she never lost for a single moment the peace and tranquility of her soul. Let us contrast ourselves with this holy and immaculate mother. She received grace with life, and, what is more glorious still, she kept it intact until she died. And we, alas, have been conceived and brought into the world in sin, and we have received the grace of the sacrament of baptism which made us friends of God. But what is more lamentable, we lose the benefit of this grace almost as soon as we have received it, and then pass the remainder of our days in the dread uncertainty of forgiveness. For it must be confessed, to our shame, that we for the most part remain in a state of grace so long as we are unacquainted with sin. The following is from St. Bernard. All men are conceived in sin, And we do not read of anyone who was sanctified in his mother's womb, excepting Jeremiah and St. John the Baptist, although there is no doubt that the Blessed Virgin, enclosed in her mother's womb, should have been purified by a much more sublime degree of sanctification, seeing that she was to be the sanctuary where God the Son was to be made flesh.